one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices and praise to the Lord. I lift my eyes unto these hills. Almighty God has made. Each mountain shouts, each valley thrills to sing the Savior's praise. Gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Lord, I put my trust in you. Never be ashamed. Mighty arm that rescued me. I will praise your name, Lord, praise your name. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning.
Lift up your voices in
praise to the Lord. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord.
Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 96, verses 1, 8, and 9. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth.
Thy presence in the name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. And we are delighted not only to have a High Priest who is there forever, but to have him as our Savior, our Intercessor, our Mediator, the one who is everything to us, the one in which we focus our life, our ministry, everything on this earth, so that one day we will enjoy his presence forever. Forevermore, as Revelation 5 tells us, that he is there in the throne, around the throne of God and in the throne of God. Father, we as a congregation have people in need, and we pray for Mr. Peretto, that he is suffering and he is on the last moments of his life, and we pray for your peace. And actually we pray that somewhere, somehow, the message of Christ be in his heart, that I will be able, or someone will be able, to communicate. We pray for Anne, who has to carry this ministry. She needs help physically, but we pray that you give a special strength in this very special hour, Father. After so many years of marriage, how wonderful it is to have a couple like this who testify of the faithfulness of God in their heart. And we pray for a special anointing on Anne as she ministered to her husband in the last moments. And Father, we pray for Loretta Forrest, confined to a bed, but no shut in her mouth. She, every time we walk in, the gospel is flowing through, and the joy of the Lord is in her heart. Thank you, Father, for having in our church people like that who encourage my life even though they are suffering. Lord, we do have missionaries, and we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis in Omsk, Siberia, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry, and Martha Peretti in Argentina. And Lord, I'm looking forward, after talking to missionary team about his coming and his presentation of his ministry and opening doors and starting churches. And I pray that when he comes in April, our heart be ready and his heart be ready to see what the gift of God has been given to this man and his wife, their ministry expand in America and in different places. And I pray for his wife as she has to travel to Cuba in the last part of March, that she be protected and that she be under thy care. Lord, we pray for our church, and you know, Father, that our goal is Jesus Christ, and our future is Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we talk already in Sunday school, we are washed by the blood of Christ. And now, Jesus, who knows the future, and who knows us, and who knows our enemies, he protects us and he leads us so that we can bring people to Christ. Bless then the radio ministry and AADAM. Bless the internet ministry, who is reaching so many people. And Father, bless the CD ministry and the tape ministry. And for those brothers and sisters of ours who, in different parts of America, they pick up the CD ministry and they go to rest homes and they play it back and so on. Bless them and make them missionaries for the cause of Christ. Lord, we are so blessed to have a church who lives in order, and later on we will have a church business meeting, and we pray that as we go through the business meeting, we will see the hand of God and the mercy of God, and our heart be thankful for your provision and for your care for us. Thank you, Father, that we do have a congregation who is faithful, a congregation who is mature. And as I'm, again, visiting different places, like last night in Modesto in a big banquet, Father, as I see people who are so tender in the gospel, I pray for pastors that they may teach the solid word of God without fear, so that people may grow. I pray for pastors that they do not misestimate the people of God, and that if we teach the word of God, they will grow, because the teacher in thee is Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, bless our choir as the choir is going to bring praises to your name. Bless the special music. Bless our brother who's going to read a portion of the scripture. And give me the courage to step out of the teaching so that people may see Jesus today again in the scripture. In his name, with thanksgiving for the offering, we pray, bless the giver, bless the offering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the first epistle of John. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 718. We will be reading 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we have been taught by the Spirit, who has revealed those things in your word which are truth and life, and the one who is the truth and life, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is hidden to those who are of the world. Help us to look to Jesus every day as we live our lives in a manner that we may bear the family likeness as your true children, looking for that day when Jesus appears and we shall be like him. We look with confidence to his appearing, not trusting in ourselves, but rather trusting in him. We pray for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the marvelous truths of your word. Bless him and guide him as he comes to exalt Jesus. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD who are yet in darkness, that they would come to the light of the world and believe the gospel of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And during these months, we are working through one word in the Bible, the word understanding. And we look upon the understanding of our privilege in Ephesians chapter 1. If any one of you need a CD or a tape, our church will provide that free for you, because I saw that they're already taken there. But if you need one, you just let the people in the back know, and they will supply you one free of charge. Understanding our privilege is Ephesians 1. Then we look in the Bible last Sunday on Psalm 15. Who will go to heaven, said the psalm, is understanding our citizenship. Now today, you are good if you open your Bible in 1 John chapter 3. We will study understanding God's family. And again, this is with no offense to anyone. This is just telling you what the scripture says. All right? Understanding God's family. Now, by nature, as you are born, as I see a baby on Leo's wife's lap, I see a baby. By nature, any baby is a son of God in Adam. Will you please put one hand in John and turn your Bible to Acts 17, verse 26, page 652. Page 652. Acts 17 and verse 26. The Bible says, and this is Paul in a dissertation, in a conference, he says about God, and hath made a one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. So God has made all mankind from one blood. I do not come from a monkey, even though I may look like a monkey, all right? That's thank God they had that statement, all right? So if somebody called me, you look like a monkey, said, you are wrong, because the Bible said, I come from Adam. Now, by nature, we all are the sons of God in their birth. But in the spiritual kingdom, not all the sons of men are the sons of God. Will you please, you have one hand in John or wherever you are, and move your Bible to the Gospel of John in chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 12 and verse 13. That's in page 621. Page 621. But in the spiritual kingdom, not all the sons of men are sons of God. We read in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and in verse 12, but as many as received him, the word is as we caught him, to them gave the power to become, the King James said, sons, the word is tegna, children of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of humanity, but of God. And so therefore, I have to say, in the spiritual kingdom, not all the sons of men are the sons of God. Now, in 1 John, if you go back to 1 John chapter 3, God spells out the distinctiveness that is part of the family of God. And all men are the family of God, but not all men are the sons of God. And so 1 John 3 speaks about those who are the intimate family of God. Let's put it in this way. Those who belong to God's kingdom. All right? Not by nature, but by choice of God into our heart. So let us examine the passage and see what God has to say through his word. Let's look verse by verse. It's only three verses. And we'll have enough time and a half hour to look at least some ideas in how is the family of God? What consists in the family of God? Actually, I'm going to speak about three little things that I see in these verses. The family name is given. I know this. Then the family lifestyle is described in these verses, and then the family hope is stated, and of course, at the end will be the $4 million question to find out what all of these mean. So let's work together, all right? The family name is given. We are in 1 John and in chapter 3. And in verse 1, to the believer, God is our Father. Look at verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father, Pater, capital F, had bestowed upon us. Upon us. Now, who are us? All right, let's go to John chapter 1 and verse 1 to find the us. And you will notice that is not everybody. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and this is the Apostle John talking, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us as the disciples. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us and truly fellowship with our Father and with the Son Jesus Christ. So the us referred to the people that have come in a relationship with God through the blessedness of believing that Jesus Christ have died for that old nature of ours, and now we are restored, clean, equal to God, actually. And so in verse 1, the Bible said in 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love the Father have to us. The family name is given. It said, have bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That's it. That's the name. One time in Fremont, I walked in a hospital, and you had to go to emergency rooms or to go to different places. You had to identify yourself and so on. And privately, I said, what's your name, sir? I said, I'm a son of God. He said, just a minute, please. And they call inside. The nuts is here at the door. You know, I said, they don't know me, and I want to see somebody just prior to surgery. And we're handling the surgery. He said, I need to see this person. He said, who is your name? He said, I'm the son of God, you know. And later on, I had to clarify that. But I tell you, that's the name of the believer. That's what they said here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So to the believer, God is our Father. And when we talk about God in Greek, is Deus, which means any God. But if you transport Deus to the Old Testament, is Jehovah. And make no mistake, that's what I'm referring to. Now, to the sons of God in a natural way, to those who are born and they are sons of Adam, God is not your Father. Don't get offended. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. To the natural man, God deny his fatherhood. Let's go to John chapter 8, 6:28. John chapter 8, verse 42 and 44, page 628. John 8, 42 and 44. Jesus said to them, they were the Pharisees, a doctor of the law, if God, you see the conditional if, subjunctive tense, for those who know grammar, first declension, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth, and came from God, and neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Now, they were hearing, come on, they were hearing him. But they were not hearing the word and understand it. Look at verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. I was one of them. So you don't get offended and I don't get sued. I was one of them. When either God is my father, and we study in Sunday school deeply today, and I had by chance the joy of teaching that word devil, which means enemy in Greek. The devil. The natural man, to the natural man, God denies his fatherhood. If you are not a child of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God and the power of the Spirit by the word of God, your father is the devil. That's what the Bible says. No wonder we do the things we do, don't? No wonder we shoot each other. No wonder people lie. No wonder people are unfaithful to their partners, to their wife, because partners used to be wife, and now partners mean something else. Boy, time change. I have to be careful. It's amazing. Amazing. The family name is given. I can say with a certainty all the time, God, Jehovah, is my father. He and his grace bestow upon me the love of God, as Romans 5:5 said, and as Ephesians 1:13 said, he let me hear his word and let me believe him, and so I'm a child of God. I know better than anybody else, as a child by choice. He adopted me into his family through the reading of the word of God. Faith was generated in my heart, and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for me. And that made me a member of the family by adoption. If that never happened to you, you can cry for mercy. Say, God, let me read the Bible. And I have no understanding of this book. It's crazy. But God, if you wrote it, you let me understand it. And I guarantee to you that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The family name is given. Very important, a family name. Very important. My name is Son of God. That's what the Bible says. Now, the family lifestyle is described, and that is in verse 3. I want to jump verse 2, verse 1, verse 3, and I go back to verse 2. So let's go to 1 John chapter 3, again, page 718. And in verse 3, the lifestyle of the Son of God is described. And every man that hath this hope in him. Again, the English, the word hope is something that could happen or could not happen. It's not the same idea in the time in which the word hope was written in England and the time in which the original word was written. It's the word certainty. And every man that had this certainty in him purify himself even as he is pure. The moral effect of the family membership is described in verse 3. You don't try to be yourself pure in order to get into the family. You know this? You are the Son of God by God's grace. And once you are the Son of God by God's grace, now God causes an effect in your life. You want to become purified even at the quality of the Lord Jesus. That's why we have difficulties sometimes in life. God is polishing our life, taking away some of the garbage that we don't need it, so that we become pure as he is. So let's look in the scripture about this. Let's compare this statement with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, page 717. We go then to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 and verse 14 to see the effect of God's fatherhood. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, seeing that we look to our new life, be diligent. You know what diligent means? Be extremely careful. That ye may be found of him in peace. No worries about this world. In peace. Look at the next word. Without spot and blameless. A very strong word, don't we? Now when I put this suit, I have nice glasses and so on, but I don't see if I have a dot here or a dot here or so on. But my wife is extremely picky. I marry a very picky wife. You know, it's just good. It's just picky. And if I have something wrong, she will notice. So before we leave the house, she said, let me see. She said, boy, I'm an inspector now. You know, it looks like I'm in Navy. You know, early in the morning at 7 o'clock, you stand. And boy, the buttons were not shining. Boy, you got it. Well, so this is my wife, you know, looking at me. Oh, what is this? She won my, see, I got it. She won my clothing without spot. Well, God wants our life without spot and without blameless. Yesterday on the banquet in Modesto, this big, large banquet, they came El Trio Los Panchos, famous in television and Mexico City and radio for years, from the year 50. They all became saved and they came to sing this banquet from Los Angeles. And one of the short leaders, he started the meeting, and I thought it was, what a rude way to start it. He started and said, how many of you took a shower today? And nobody raised their hand. Now, Spanish don't take showers every day. So I said, boy, I can't believe this guy. So I raised my hand. So I took two today, you know. And the guy looked on it and he said, okay, don't be afraid. How many of you raised this? Raise your hand if you took a shower. All right. And then he said, you know, as you take a shower physically, you need to take a shower every day with the Word of God. So read the Word of God. That's what helpful to me. I was singing songs of sex and all kinds of things, making a lot of money, he said, until God showered me with his word and cleaned me through. Tiny short fellow like this, might be my age, an old man, 69, 70. And it was so refreshing to know that the Bible requires without spot the style of the Christian and blameless. And let's face it, we cannot deliver, but he can. And so once you are in the family of God, you get the work of God in your life. It is not the condition of membership, it is the effect of the membership in the family of God. Once you are in the family of God, there is no conditions, but there is the effect of being a member of that family. Each family has protocols. In my house, when I grow up, we cannot take lunch without dressing up with suit and tie and sitting at the table. My father will take us away. We have to be in that way. We will not take dinner if that was not happen. All right? Everything has to be for, and we will not take dinner at 9 or 10. We have to be there at 10 p.m. for the dinner. We have to be there at 2 o'clock for the lunch. We have to be there at 5 o'clock for the tea. And sandwich. In other words, there was a protocol in the family. And you get the effect after a while. After your mother shake your face a few times, man, you got it. My father will go to take a look at my shoes, and my shoes were shined because he was fanatic about shoes. They had to be shined. My mother was a shoemaker, so the shoes had to be clean. The protocol in the family. The protocol in God's family is that our spiritual life needs to be spotless, blameless. Affect all of us. And the only way to do it is to shower our life with the Word of God. One man came to me, you never know, you speak in radio, you speak in television. He said, 15 years ago, you said, read the book of Proverbs, one chapter a day. I've been doing that, Pastor, and that helped me tremendously. Read the Bible. Book of Proverbs is a good way to start. Now, what is the object and being like this. What is the object that God has in mind that he wants me spotless? If you notice, in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 3, God is saying this, and every man that had this hope in him purify himself. He goes into the process of being under the effect of purification, even as he is pure. Who is he? The Lord Jesus, all right? The Lord Jesus. And so what is the object of his lifestyle? The object is to be just like God. Hey, we got a job. We got a job. We need to be just like God. Well, let's go to Ephesians 4, please. Move your Bible to Ephesians 4, page 689. Ephesians chapter 4. And you will find out in verse 11 to 13 how you enter into this process of purification. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13, God give us the formula how you are enter in these cause and effect of purification. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, 11, and he, Jesus Christ, gave some apostles, some people, the office of apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting, or better word, for the training of the saints, for the work of the ministry, or diaconia, for the work of service, for edifying or building up the body of Christ, till we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect mature man, into the measure of the maturity of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carry about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. And so the reason why you're in church today is not just to fulfill something that you do traditionally. The reason that you are in church is that the pastor is going to feed you the Word of God, so that the Word of God and in this process will alert your spiritual life, will give you knowledge into your mind, and you will be able to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. That's why you're in church today. The pastor has the obligation, he has the call to feed you with the Word of God to the point that now you know God as much as you can. And now when somebody comes with ideas, you compare those ideas with the knowledge that now you have, and you are able to be without spot and blameless by the grace of God, because our old nature battle our life like crazy. See, the family style is described. I have no choice. I'm in the family of God, and God's protocol is this. You need to be spotless. You need to be blameless. It scares me. Makes you serious about what you speak. Makes you serious about what you said. Make you serious about everything you do. From time to time, when I go in places, I have shared my life so long across America. I have people across this banquet, people come in and say, you know, you married me and my wife 26 years ago, and we're still married. You did a good job. I said, I didn't. When I marry somebody, I train it and leave it to the Lord. I said, you know who did a good job? God. God. In an amazing way. Listen, my friend, God has provided. That's why when people miss church, they take it very lightly. Like a church is a tradition, is a protocol. No, church is in a school to help you to understand God and understand yourself. More you get, you don't know how much influence the Bible does on you until you go in a crisis, and then all the Bible and the things come to your life, and you make a decision according to a scripture. If you're not in a crisis, it's good to be in a crisis. It's a test. Imagine you go to the hospital and the doctor who take care of you, he never took a test. He said, oh no, that was so good. I went to a school, they never took me a test. Will you go under surgery with that guy? Amazing. Amazing. So the Word of God. You know why Satan took the Word of God out of the school? Because God knows what the Word of God does. Satan influenced weak people in America who are not believers. And they got the Bible out of the school. And now the young people have no idea what the Bible says. No idea. No idea. My friend, the lifestyle is described is spotless and blameless. And comes by taking care. Go to a church, I tell people, that teaches the Word of God verse by verse and feed you with the Word of God. You never know what the Word of God will do in your life until you need it. And God is there. The Word is there. It's not loose. Remember Jesus said, my Word will not be empty. I will recall my Word. Yes, that was on the spot. I have my beautiful Spanish Bible that my brother built. This is the second time I use that Bible. It's 1518, that Bible. 1518. Oh, the Castilian language. Beautiful. And I had that Bible over there. And come the lady. And say, you know, we don't expect it. Well, we have few Americans, so you speak English and Spanish. And I don't have the Bible in English. Say, hey, mamma mia, what am I going to do? But God was able to recall in my mind the verses by memory. And I was reading a verse in Spanish, and ba 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 came in English. It's amazing how much is in your heart, and you don't know. When you take the Bible in, and you come to church morning and evening, there are people here in this congregation, they come at 9:30 and they leave at 6:30 in the night. And don't think that this is wasting time in times of need. Whatever they treasure in from the scripture, there will be a strong element to make decisions and to make their path clear. Spotless and blameless. The family of God, the name of the Son of God, the lifestyle, spotless and blameless. Now, the family hope is stated in verse 2, 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, said the King James Version. The word is techna again, children. The babies of God, and it does not yet appear or reveal what we shall be, but we know, the word is we understand, that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The family hope. What's the family hope, class? Is this. Jesus is coming again. I saw a man in Larrakeen the other day mocking the Lord Jesus. He was a Jew, and he was mocking his own people, because Jesus is a Jew, mocking the Lord Jesus. Oh, I was so insulted of that man, because Jewish people are respectful of Jesus. They maybe don't believe what Jesus claimed, but are respectful in this generation of Jesus. It's one of them. That this man was completely a comedian, completely irrespectful. Now look, put one hand in John. The Bible said here in 1 John 2:2, beloved, now we are the Son of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but we understand that when he appears, so Jesus is coming again, John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14, page 633, John chapter 14, verses 1, all the way to 3. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, verse 3, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may be ye also. Is Jesus a liar? Somebody say, he's a dreamer. Yes, he's a dreamer. He's coming. Doesn't mean his dream will not come true. He's coming again. So what is the hope of the believer? Jesus is coming again. The verse 2 in 1 John 3 says that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him. So here is the family hope. Jesus coming again. We know everybody, but we shall see him. Revelation chapter 1, please. You are in John. You go to the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Look at what the Bible says. Behold, Revelation 1, 7. He cometh with a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And so, it is not just a thought. It is a truth. Jesus coming again. Jesus, we shall see him. And then, verse 3 in 1 John 1 said that every man that hath his cup in him, verse 2, excuse me, said, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet been revealed what it shall be, but we understand that when he appears, we shall be like him. That's the third thing. Number one, Jesus coming again. Number two, we shall see him. Number three, we shall be like him. And people tell me, you know, these Jew people, they're funny. They have good ideas. I have for you news. Let's go to Psalm 17. In Psalm 17, page 348 and verse 15. Psalm 17. Is going to help us to understand that this coming of the Lord is not just something absolutely out of place. Psalm 17 and verse 15. Look at what the Bible said. As for me, said the psalmist, I will behold thy face and righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with what? With thy likeness. This is not a New Testament doctrine to be like Jesus in heaven. This is what the Bible said from the very beginning. We shall awake, said King David, and we shall be as him. Now, what is our life now then? Are we loose in the world and we have to only hope until we are with him? No. Our life now, at the present time, our life is hide in Christ. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, page 694. Colossians chapter 3, and you will see this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, page 694. Colossians 3 and verse 3. Look at what the Bible says. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is protected in Christ in God. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans 8, 18, page 665. Romans chapter 8 in verse 18. Look at what the Bible says. For I reckon that the sufferings of these present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. So some of you go through hassles and sufferings and difficulties and unexpected things that you never dream of, but nothing is compared with the glorious experience of our heaven. I think this, that the people that go through a lot of sufferings in this world had a greater appreciation of heaven than you and me. Because we get attached to the world. We get attached to our car, to our house, to our future here. But when you have difficulties and the future looks trembling, boy, the hope of heaven is so good. And that's what it is. Now the $4 million question. You know the family name is given, Son of God. The family lifestyle is described as spotless, blameless. And the family hope, Jesus coming again. Now the $4 million question. Are you a member of God's family? That's what it is. Maybe you said, how do I know? Well, there is a man who knows, Paul. And he said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and he is able to keep that until that day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and page 701. I know whom I have believed, and he is able to keep that until that day. Now, Nicodemus was informed how to become a member of God's family. Remember what God said to Nicodemus in John 3? He said, you must be born again. And then Nicodemus said, hey, wait a minute. I'm a doctor, sir. I'm a lawyer. Jesus, wake up. What do you say? He said, you need to be again, born again. Two elements Jesus used. You remember them? He said, you need to be born again of water and the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:26, the Bible said, you husband should wash your wife with the water of the word. If you're ever going to say something to your wife, to correct your wife, you better use the word. You have no other rights about your wife, except to say, darling, the word of God said this. And the Bible called that the washing, helping your wife to understand God's will. It's not your way, it's God's way. And you husbands better read the word at home. Better have a Bible study at home with your wife and your children so that you, without knowing, are washing your family. That's how the church becomes strong. And you need the Spirit of God. And in John 16, verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, it is expedient for me that I go away. When I go away, I will send to you the Comforter. And he will convict you, verse 8 in John 16, of sin. I cannot convict you. Actually, I don't want to. I don't want to convince anybody of anything, but I want the Holy Spirit to do it. Are you a member of God's family? If you are not a member of God's family, tell me, why not? Perhaps you never read the Bible. You don't have to be afraid. Why people are so afraid of the Bible? Why? Because the Bible carried the dynamite of the gospel. If you really want to be a child of God, you read this scripture. Where do I start? Whatever you want to. Read it. Enjoy it. And one day, you too will be called a son of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that today you reveal to us that we are members of a great family, the family of God. And so, Father, we pray that even though as you make us of one blood through Adam, now you have made us of one spirit through Christ. We pray for those who are not yet understanding this, that in due time they believe that through Jesus Christ we become members of this family. And for us who are members of the family, Father, we pray that you put us a protocol that is very high, spotless and blameless. Lord, we cry for patience, for mercy, and for grace as we struggle through life to be like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Life to run so much. Trying to match what I going, or guess what I want to speak, and trying to do it, and I'm trying to be as explicit as I can ahead. But thank God I sit down and I have my schedule already prepared, first draft, until July. And so I'm going to speak on the Beatitudes of God all the way from April, the first Sunday in April, all the Beatitudes until the end of July, that God will help us to be like Jesus. There is a business meeting right after church, so you may stand for the benediction, and you are welcome to come back and to be with us for the business meeting. Let's pray together. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with every exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.